This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by New Orleans City Council Member at Large, J.P. Morrell. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel.
JP, you guys have been incredibly busy dealing with any number of issues, one being the billing practices of the Sewage and Water Board that continue to be at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. Last week, y'all took some action. Tell us about it.
Well, essentially, we did two major things. First, we essentially created sort of a bill of rights for customers. Some expectations as to what information they should be entitled to while pursuing or contesting a bid, such as mandating that you have access to a picture of your actual meter when you're contesting whether or not it was read, which will start in January. We also ended the ability of Sewage and Water Board to cut off water access to people during extreme temperature situations. And the last and most important thing is, we had a third-party company, HGI, that was doing our appeals of Sewage and Water Board bills. And in the last year and a half of doing that, they've been an excellent partner in trying to get to the backlog. We essentially streamlined the appeals process by eliminating the Sewage and Water Board portion of the appeals process and moving HGI up in the queue. So basically, when you call, first call Sewage and Water Board to go, this bill is incorrect. There, you are no longer interacting with Sewage and Water Board customer service. You're dealing with an impartial third party who's going to get to the bottom of it immediately, as well as dealing with older bills that are being contested.
Obviously, y'all felt that that was an appropriate remediation based on, I guess, evidence that y'all have, you know, brought to your attention of, slow walking some of these responses?
Well, essentially, we've been trying to work with Sewage and Water Board existing framework for about almost 2 years, Noel, and customer service at Sewage and Water Board just could never get it right. We had instances, Noel, where we had our own staff who were contesting a bill, and they were being told that they couldn't contest it and there was no ability to seek an appeal, when they knew, because they helped write the original law, that they were entitled to an appeal. And where we really started to get suspicious is that when Sewage and Water Board would say, well, only this amount of people are in the appeal process, we're looking between our staff data and interacting with ratepayers, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people who are trying to get to the appeal, and they were being stonewalled. And we really realized at that point, we're like, listen, if we can't get good data, if we can't get the customer service operation at Sewage and Water Board to acknowledge and file the existing law, then any effort we have that has them in the middle of it is kind of doomed to failure. And then in the middle of that also, we were getting stellar. First, we were getting fantastic data from HG&I, but more importantly, they're kind of a company that has a reputation of coming in when things are truly busted and trying and like having success in fixing it. And we had reached a point with Sewage and Water Board customer service where we just didn't see a path where they could be remediated to be functional. And so we both have HGI doing the customer service interaction when it comes to bills. And then as simultaneously, Councilmember Geruso has begun looking out for a pilot to actually deal with the bills that are being sent. Because as you know, Noel, the fact that we still have bills going to households for single family homes with two people for $90,000 to $100,000, those bills never should be sent, because in many cases, it's physically impossible for people to use that much water in a month.
Yeah. Obviously, what's important is that Sewage and Water Board be on board with these changes, your sense?
I think, honestly, this time around, I said after 2 years of haggling with them, when it came to this last round of interactions, I think after a little bit of give and take, they are on board, which I think also helped. I mean, I wouldn't say they weren't on board the last time, but I think the nature of the interaction was we were trying to fix something that was too fundamentally broken. Once we both realized, it both acknowledged that this is too broken to fix and we have to outsource it so that people can have a better experience and that it can be finally resolved, and both sides kind of said, this is the best step. I feel like for the first time, probably in 2 years, that this is being... It doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters for us, especially with a hurricane barreling down, that our pipes and our pumping be done properly. But at the same token, if your owner only interaction with Sewage and Water Board on a regular basis is your bill, and your bill is fundamentally wrong many of the times, then your opinion of Sewage and Water Board will always be compromised and terrible. And that you have to treat billing with a sense of urgency. And I think in this last kind of round between the legislature, the governor, and the council weighing in, I think the three of us believe that are now in agreement this is being given the sense of urgency it's deserved this whole time.
Well, that's got to be, I mean, for me, it's really encouraging to hear. And I got to imagine for you that, you know, you guys have been in the trenches, they've been in the trenches. I mean, you've been around long enough to know that when everyone's pulling the wagon in the same direction, things just get done a lot easier, right? And we move forward, and because we know that on the horizon, we have a whole lot of other challenges that we need to deal with.
That's 100% correct. I mean, it's gratifying because there are other issues with Sewage and Water Board that are, I wouldn't say are more important, but are more pressing. Like, for example, obviously, we have to find the money. The council's likely going to have to find the money in our capital projects to fund the remainder of the power plant for our drinking water as well as our pumps. And it's very important that we get billing behind us so that we can focus our efforts on these things that are much more time sensitive, insofar as we need to make sure those pumps are online for water pumping and for drinking water before next hurricane season. And the setbacks at the legislature, we were on track to definitely be online before next year's hurricane season. If the council doesn't step in to really solve this funding issue, we could lose another hurricane season, and that's not acceptable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. JP, I had BGR the other day, Rebecca Moray and their data analyst. I read through the report actually twice, and I was encouraged by what I read. I mean, it seems as though that plan coming together, the maturation of that plan, now that we can look back and say that there are things that have developed that are providing a decent recurring revenue. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think in retrospect, I mean, not in a bad way, but retrospectively looking at it, Fair Share was an excellent plan. It was a culmination of city government, the legislature, and honestly, and not enough credits given to the business industry. The business community were really the heavy in that interaction because, as you know, Newell, at the legislature, the business in general has a disproportionate amount of influence. So we had a lot of the business leaders in the Greater New Orleans area really lend their weight to an effort by the legislature, by the mayor, by the council at that time to get Fair Share done. And it's led to dividends because part of the challenge when you have these, part of the issue when you have infrastructure challenges is finding reoccurring revenue streams to address them. And it was one of the rare times where everyone was in agreement, we're going to redirect this revenue to key infrastructure challenges, namely a drainage, and actually see some gains. And it was very gratifying that BGR kind of came back and said, yeah, this was a good idea, and it's actually doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, so, you know, when you couple, like, what you described last week and then the BGR report, I mean, this is the type of momentum you want to see. But then, of course, JP, we got to hear about the stench at City Hall. What is that about?
Well, I mean, I can only tell you know the interaction we have with the administration is very limited. But from what we understand, what we were told, and I have not personally verified it, nor would I ever personally choose to verify this, apparently there was pesticides used to eliminate the rodent problem, and their rodents died, and a lot of them died in ducks. And it was interesting because the first day, the stench was so bad, we assumed it was a gas leak. NOFD came out and said, nope, not a gas leak. And then that night, Newell, I was telling my staff, I was like, something died. And they're like, no. I was like, no, something or some things died in this building. And that's what we're dealing with. The next day it comes out, yeah, we had rats possibly exploded or not exploded in the ducts. And once they identified the issue, I mean, I've been to City Hall since then. It's cleaned out. But it does send a mixed message of, hey, we're making these great gains on infrastructure, except where the rats blow up in your ducts, and then it smells like a charnel house in City Hall for a couple of days. It's a lot.
Are there days sometimes when you say to yourself, I cannot make this up anymore?
I would say, honestly, there's a moment.
Last week they were talking about power.
Well, it is certainly. I would say there's a moment each day or every other.
Go ahead.
Oh, I said. Well, Newell, it certainly is a moment each day or every other day where truth is stranger than fiction in City Hall. I would argue it's pretty constant. But that was the most significant thing we'd seen in a while.
Well, it seems as though I was kind of chuckling because I think last week they were talking. They made the announcement that they were going to power wash the exterior of City Hall, which it's needed that for years, quite frankly. And then on the heels of that, we have the rat story. And it's like, oh, my God.
I mean, you want to believe this is great. but I mean, the lights are still out on the side. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I really feel like we're trying to get through, you know, Taylor Swift October and Supergirl next year. But I think a more effort needs to be put towards, we have to build a new City Hall. We finally, working with the governor, secured the property across the street. I don't know how much more lipstick we have to put on this pig, but I think that real effort needs to be on having a public, transparent plan of what that move looks like.
No doubt. I mean, and, you know, and I've said this before, as any number of these buildings, you know, the valuation is dropping precipitously. Building it may not be the best option, but that's just one man's opinion. I think everything ought to be put on the table, quite frankly, because there will be bargains to be had. There was a bargain just a block away from y'all, a real bargain.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if it doesn't happen during this mayor, that's a conversation that could be had. I mean, there is definitively an argument for a retrofit, as long as you can fit. I mean, the big challenge, as you know, Newell, you were there when they built that giant, beautiful building in Gretna. But the challenge is that you have real specific space requirements for things like courtrooms and things like council chambers. And that was the death knell, what killed City Hall going into charity for a lot of people, because some of these buildings can't simply be retrofitted to meet that criteria. Now, that being said, I will say, and I'm a proponent of, we don't need to put everything in City Hall. We need to build a building that houses those essential services that require those specific space constraints. There's no reason why you couldn't buy a building and house every other part of government, those departments, in a different building. I mean, I agree. We don't have to build another skyscraper to do a massive housing, because you're right. There are a lot of deals to be had in downtown New Orleans, especially in a 1 to 2 block radius of where current City Hall is.
No, no doubt. I mean, look, you seize the moment. It may work out. It may not. But it's worth the due diligence to go out there and look at it and see whether or not it's going to make economic sense one way or the other. You know, what's interesting is that whenever there's a trial on TV, you watch the trial and you look at the courtroom. And they're not high ceilings in any of those courtrooms. If you remember the OJ trial, if you remember any number of these trials, you know, it wasn't massive courtrooms. And, you know, what our expectations, our hopes, our desires are for a courtroom may need to change. Right? I mean, you know.
Other
jurisdictions seem to be able to do it.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I don't know what's special about our justice here. You know.
Well, I mean,
needless to say.
I mean, it's certainly something worth consideration. I don't think City Hall is going to happen under this mayor, and I think that part of what will come out in the general debate over the who's going to be the next mayor of New Orleans, that'll certainly be part of it. It's a tremendous expense one way or another, whether we're retrofitting or building a building. It's going to have to factor into the capital plan for the next administration. It'll be part of the conversation when that election comes around.
No doubt about it. JP Morrell, as always, thank you so much for joining us. We know you're busy. We appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Noel.
That's JP Morrell, city council member at large. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Give us a shout. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.